is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, saddle up, boys and girls. It's Free For All Friday. It's a free for all because it's not a safe space. This is the free market of ideas, a place where we talk about things. We actually embrace this odd little idea of free speech. We have this notion that the more diverse the opinions in the conversation, the better the conversation is and the more you can learn. We have this, I know it's quaint, but we have an idea here that not having trigger words and ignoring silly little microaggressions and, you know, not being worried about what the next guy says and not being offended because somebody actually has a different opinion than myself, that's a good thing. And for people like Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and James Monroe and the folks that put this country together, they had a pretty good idea that having a diverse circle of comments and conversation and opinion was probably the best thing. Can you imagine what the Continental Congress was like when they were trying to put together the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and finding language that everybody could agree on and the things that were said and the fingers that were pointed and the disparaging remarks inside that room? Can you imagine? And did they get all offended and run home because they were victims? The professional victim crowd. I'm a victim. He said something I don't like. Really? Suck it up, Buttercup. There are a whole lot of people out there that don't agree with what you have to say or what you think. And I can assure you, once you get beyond your little coddled area, you're going to find out that in the real world, it's competitive. It's cutthroat. It's sometimes mean-spirited. It's direct. It's brutal. And if you don't get some callus, you're not going to make it. Because tenderfoots get sliced up. Things are changing out there. The hotline number is 888-900-9966, and I guess I'm sick and tired of hearing about professional victims in this country. Oh, I was offended. Mr. Gruber said something I didn't like what he said. Too bad. Too damn bad. Don't like what I have to say? Pick up the phone. 888-900-9966. We call it Free For All Friday. Anybody can play. Liberals, socialists, Marxists, free capital people, men, women, short, tall, wide, narrow, I don't care. Anybody can play. How's this one? We'll try this one on for size. See if this gets your attention. The House Armed Services Committee approving this week a measure requiring women to register for the military draft. Welcome aboard, ladies. A move that comes just a few months after the Defense Department lifted all gender-based restrictions on frontline combat units. It passed the committee, by the way, 32-30. Congressman Duncan Hunter of California, you've probably heard of him, a former U.S. Marine who served three combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, doesn't support drafting women into combat. He's opposed to opening infantry and special operations positions to women. He said he offered the measure to trigger a discussion about how the Pentagon's decision in December to rescind gender restrictions on military service failed to consider whether the exclusion on drafting women should also be lifted. That's a call for Congress to make, says Hunter, not the executive branch. I think we should make this decision. It's the families that we represent who are affected by this decision. Take that hill, says Duncan Hunter. Bodies on the battlefield of women next to men. He made graphic references. How do you feel about it? Should women be drafted? Should they be part of the deal? Is that the end result of feminism? Local police chiefs and sheriffs typically swear to enforce the laws of their respective states, but a group called Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers is intent on strictly enforcing their view of the U.S. Constitution, and I tip my hat to them from time to time. Its ambition is to encourage law enforcement officers to defy laws they decide themselves are illegal. I bring this to your attention. Because if the Supreme Court and its balance is changed by the next person selected to sit on the Supreme Court, and the Second Amendment is struck down in some fashion, either partially or wholly by the Supreme Court, then these sheriffs in many counties say they will instruct their deputies not to enforce what they consider to be unconstitutional law. People like John Hanlon from Douglas County, Oregon. And there's a few here in Michigan. What do you think about constitutional? See, they are elected officials. They have the same oath to protect and defend the Constitution from anybody. Homegrown or foreign raised, makes no difference. Here's a little something for you. The owners of the most prominent vegan restaurant chain in Los Angeles have been found to be raising and, quote, harvesting, I love that word, harvesting animals at their Northern California farm. I harvest deer and elk and such every year, which means we kill them. Now Hollywood's vegan community is angry and death threats have been made. Those vegans are out for blood. The vegans, oh yeah, they've got blood in their eyes. People have taken up the mob mentality, says Cafe Gratitude, that's the name of the place, owner Matthew Engelhart. You see, they have this nice farm in Northern California. And a few months ago, pictures of their farm were obtained by an animal rights activist that discovered that the Bee Love Farm had been raising animals and slaughtering them for human consumption. Now, the Engelharts were vegetarians for 40 years, vegan since 2003, but they just couldn't take it anymore. They broke down. They needed a ribeye. Free-range ribeye as it was, but that's what they did. And now the mob mentality is attacking their restaurants from San Francisco to Los Angeles and every place in between. And speaking of catching big fish and so forth, two British fishermen, check this out. Two British fishermen honored their late friend by using his remains, his ashes, in a special mixture to go fishing. And they did this in Thailand, a trip he was supposed to go on before he died of cancer. So they took his ashes, mixed it into the special, I don't know, the special sauce, if you will. They caught a world record 180-pound Siamese carp. And they said, well, their buddy Hopper would have been proud. Ryan Hopper died of cancer just before the trip. There's something for you. Free for All Friday.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
All right, I'm going to follow up a little bit on the vegans out for blood in Los Angeles and San Francisco. Condemning and coming down hard mob mentality on the owners of a vegan restaurant called Cafe Gratitude. Well, it was learned, and the Hollywood Reporter putting out now, that they have a farm in Northern California, and they stopped being vegetarians here a few years ago, and suddenly an animal rights activist got a hold of the whole deal. And so we had a caller call and ask him to say, well, what difference does it make? So they have a vegan restaurant. Okay, they're doing that. And what they do on their own private farm in Northern California is their own private business. Why is anybody else's concern? Here's why. This is the way liberalism works. Let me give you a quote. The reason we are so upset is that veganism is a belief system. says Gary Christensen. It's not just what you eat. You are patronizing a restaurant you think has that philosophy, and it turns out it doesn't. Vegans should know that this restaurant has a farm that slaughters animals. The Engelhards say that they began to observe nature and decided that nature doesn't exist without animals, and they decided to participate again. What an observation. These two should be naturalists. Nature doesn't exist without animals. I'm glad we got that revelation out of the way. Shifting gears now to our next guest, Kelsey Harkness is a senior news producer at the Daily Signal. And this whole our discussion back and forth about fetuses being dismembered for use in scientific study and so forth has been in the news for a while since the whole videotape deal broke last year. Kelsey Harkness joining us. Kelsey, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So here in Michigan, they've just worked on putting together a bill that bans the sale of baby body parts, even though it was illegal. I think they did it anyway, just to make a point and underscore that. Where are we in this discussion?
Yeah, so the House launched a special investigation to really look into whether or not companies are profiting off the sale of body parts from aborted babies. And recently, the House released some new documents that it received through its investigation, and what they found is a fetal brain, for example, was sold for $3,340. Human fetal tissue was sold for $595. The list goes on. And the question, I think these numbers were shockingly high to a lot of people, so I think the question right now is, are these companies profiting, or can they prove that these are some sort of reasonable reimbursements that follow the nonprofit model that's required by the law?
So I see $890 for upper and lower limbs with hands and feet. Let me just ask you this. Is there this much demand for fetal body parts for research? I mean, there must be some demand out there. And I can, is unsettling as it is. As unsettling it is, there's a need for some sort of research here. I'm not defending any of this at all, but isn't there another source where, I mean, people put on organ donors, for example, on their driver's licenses, and if you're involved in a fatal car accident, your parts can be donated to science for just this very reason. Is there not any other way to get where they need to be?
That's an interesting question. It's actually one of the questions that the House investigators are looking into. They're not just looking into how much fetal tissue is being bought and sold for. They're looking into the reasons why researchers are choosing fetal tissue. Are they choosing this because it's cheaper and easier to obtain? Are they choosing it for the sake of convenience, which I think raises a lot of ethical questions? Or are they choosing it because it's actually the only option available?
Well, here's my other question. Here's my other question based on that, because over my lifetime, I've seen ever more restrictions on animal testing and the use of animal parts and so forth because of animal rights activists and so forth. Has part of that resulted in the demand that we're seeing? Are there other alternatives that we could be using animals or animal parts that are no longer available because of laws that have, you know, clamped down on that?
Well, I don't think you'd be surprised to hear that the medical industry and, you know, groups that are involved in the trade of body parts from aborted babies aren't inclined to tell you what exactly they're using it for. They like to say they're using it for life-saving research. And I think what congressional investigators are saying right now is, show us what research is being performed with these body parts and show us why they're being performed. I think you're right that we've sort of normalized, society has sort of normalized this, and then, you know, people think twice when it comes, if you heard that little parts of dogs and, you know, animals were being bought and sold, I think they'd raise red flags, but we're sort of normalized into hearing that that this industry exists when it comes to aborted babies.
No, the Humane Society of the United States and PETA, those organizations would go ballistic if they knew that they were cutting puppies up or whatever for they would. I mean, they'd go crazy, and there would be, you know, protests, and all of these folks would be out there going nuts. Wayne Pacelli would be on the front page of the New York Times, you know, spewing whatever nonsense he spews, and there it would all be. So I guess my question is, first of all, we need to know what is being used for, what the true demand is, and is there an alternate source somewhere else?
I think you're asking the same questions that investigators are looking into. Of course, we've seen Democrats continually try to write this investigation off as some sort of witch hunt that's trying to take down the abortion industry. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at just this initial data that I highlighted in my Daily Signal article, the numbers are really high. I personally have been covering this issue for a while, and I was surprised to see that these body parts are being bought and sold for thousands of dollars. And you have to wonder, again, whether this is following a nonprofit model. And I think it should be pretty easy for these companies to explain themselves and show us the receipts, but they are doing all they can to block investigators from receiving documents and account documents. So you have to wonder, are they trying to hide something? And if they weren't, why wouldn't they just hand over all the information?
Well, you know, these are all fair and pointed questions. We'll see what happens. Kelsey, I guess we'll find out the next time you stop by to give us an update, because it's an important story. Thank you so much.
Of course, anytime.
Kelsey Harkness, senior news producer at The Daily Signal. You can find it at thedailysignal.com online. It's Free for All Friday on The Steve Gruber Show.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Welcome back to it on this Free for All Friday. Yeah, a lot going on out there, of course. A lot of it has to do with what's going on in the presidential race, of course. And for so many now, that the conclusion is finally settling in. Some kicking and screaming, some accepting it more readily. And that is the idea that when we head to the polls in November, the two names will be Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump for the Democrats and Republicans, respectively. It just seems that right now, just lean over and grab this. Right now, here's a new formula out. Moving forward, Donald Trump only needs 43% of the remaining delegates to win the nomination. That is, after sweeping all five primaries that occurred Tuesday, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Delaware, Maryland, and Pennsylvania, Donald Trump now has 987 delegates by this estimate, which is higher than some others that I've seen by about, 30. There are fewer delegates remaining because of Ted Cruz's wins in, well, you call them wins, his acquisition of delegates in Wyoming, Colorado, and North Dakota. But at this point, Donald Trump, according to this estimate from the Gateway Pundit, he only needs about 250 more delegates to get this deal done. By the way, Donald Trump won every county in every state on Tuesday. He won every county in every state, including, and let's be clear about this, the big prize, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's, that's possible, I suppose, that Maryland or some other state in the Eastern Seaboard could come into play in November, but really, that's not likely. But Donald Trump winning every county in every state, pretty telling. And then the next big state, of course, is Indiana. And if you haven't heard this yet, I want to play this again because I find it fascinating, because maybe the biggest celebrity in the whole state of Indiana, there's a couple, I'd put them on equal ground in that state. One would be Lou Holtz, the former coach of Notre Dame football. But the biggest one of all, probably the general himself, Bobby Knight, who has openly endorsed Donald Trump. And Bobby Knight, known for being such a calm individual, a guy who didn't really speak his mind, kind of a shy fella. Right? Yeah. The kind of guy that, could identify with a Donald Trump. He's also a guy that won three national championships. The last, I'll never forget, Keith Smart. Remember that? The Smart shot from Nowheresville in the corner? The drained? I remember that as long as I live. Anyhow, he also had the undefeated team in 1976. Anyhow, in Indiana, there is no bigger name, no bigger celebrity, and probably no bigger endorsement to get. The governor, Mike Pence, would pale in comparison to Bobby Knight. Here are Bobby Knight in his comments on Donald Trump. It's clip 5. Go.
That I was very, very selective with players during the time I was here. And I'll tell you one thing, that man that was just up here a moment ago, I'll tell you, that son of a bitch could play for me. I'm not here to represent the Republican Party. You know, quite frankly, I don't give a damn about the Republicans. And then on the other hand, I don't give a damn about the Democrats either. But I really think that we have, as Americans, a great opportunity not to represent a political party, but to pick the best man that we have available to lead the United States back to where we want it to be. And this man's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat at heart. He's just a great American.
Well, is that problematic? He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's an American. Is that problematic? Is that why some conservatives say never Trump? He's not conservative enough. He's not Republican enough. What exactly have the Republicans and Democrats gotten for us? See, over the last 10 or 20 years. What have the Republicans and Democrats gotten for us over the last 20 years? Our national debt is $19 trillion. And I can point at Barack Obama, and that's fine, but Congress keeps putting that garbage through. I can look at the chaos of our military follies in the Middle East, started by a Republican, continued by a Democrat. I can look at our economy here at home and say, this is going to be the first president in American history that goes through his entire presidency and does not see a single year where the GDP, the gross domestic product, increased by 3% or better. First president ever to not see a GDP exceed 3%. Can you imagine? Maybe the blame lies on both sides. Maybe this adherence to this two-party system to blindly support a party, a Democrat or a Republican, based solely on the affiliation to the party, not on any real accomplishments or character or ability to lead or the ability to get things done. It's based solely on what club do you belong to. Exactly why George Washington, in his farewell speech to the nation, warned against political parties, because people would have an adherence, a loyalty, a fidelity to a political party long before they would to their country or to their fellow citizens. They would place party above all. You know why he knew that? Because he had seen that. And do you know why our country was established and created the way it was and the way it is today? Is because the people that put together the founding documents of this nation had been classically educated. They had read, they had understood, they had studied Rome. They had studied other empires. They had studied serfdom and peasants and monarchies and all of these things and what worked and what didn't work and why. So a government of the people, for the people, and by the people was a great experiment. The problem is, over the last 20 years or 25 years in my lifetime, same as you, we have seen an acceleration of the reduction of liberty for the citizens of this nation. America now, as you know, doesn't even rank in the top 10, might not even rank in the top 20 now, for the most free nations on earth. All these laws and regulations and guidelines and licensing, all this red tape. I used to hear people say all the time, well, say what you want, it's a free country. I don't hear that much anymore. In fact, I don't hear it at all. Remember how people used to say, that's a free country, do what you want? Yeah. Not so much. Heck, if you let your kid go out and ride a bicycle without a helmet, you'll probably get arrested for child endangerment these days because some do-gooder will call the police, call 911, and turn you in. Maybe the fault lies with all of us. Maybe we're all just a little bit responsible for what's going on. 41 after on a free-for-all Friday.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
Yeah, don't bring me down. All right, it's 45 after. Our next guest here, Michael Krolchek, regular contributor to the program, CEO of Spartacus Strategies, leading libertarian activist, health guru, contributor to DailySurge.com and Clash Daily, a guy who's kind of shy, but every now and then he'll have an opinion, which we like to kind of get that out of him, work it out of him from time to time. Michael, welcome back.
Well, you know what? I am so shy, and I'm glad you've been able to get me out of my deep invert.
Coax you out of your shell.
You're an amazing host to do that.
Yeah. Therapy is only $250 an hour. You'll get the bill. Yeah. Don't worry about it. It's all good. So what is going on? And in fact, I had a friend of mine who recently made some comments on Facebook that I didn't think were even particularly interesting. And all of a sudden, boom, he is shut down because some liberals that we converse with turned him into Facebook. Well, I find this offensive. This hurt. You know, I don't like that. I'm like, really? I mean, is this where we are? I don't like what they said. Make them go dark. Put a curtain over them. I mean, what happened to America where you have this free exchange of ideas, this marketplace of thoughts and people talking back and forth, sometimes loudly? At my home, you know, you didn't know if it was a good discussion until it hit about 105 decibels. Then you knew you were getting somewhere, right, when I grew up. But America has become a bunch of muzzled wimps.
We are now... I believe, way past muzzle wimps, we become a society where there is no tolerance whatsoever. The melting pot idea, there is no melting pot. If Stalin and Lenin would be amazed how much we're quieted. Think about this. When I went to college in the 1990s, I went to Brown University, which is the most politically correct school at the time. Girls at the time were writing men's names on the Rockefeller wall of who they thought were date raping them. Okay. Luckily, my name didn't appear. I had a very cool chick at the time, one of the only few girls at Brown that was beautiful and didn't have body hair. But anyway, so I luckily didn't appear on that list. Now, the point of this whole thing when I was at the school, they threw the CIA off the campus, they threw ROTC off the campus. Nothing was allowed. It's become the norm. Okay, if you go to a liberal college, you can't really speak your mind. If you dare write your opinion, as I did in many of my papers, you know you're going to get a B. The professor's not going to give you it. You're going to get hissed. And that was accepted at the college, the liberal experience. It actually makes us better arguing like we do now as libertarians or conservatives because we had to hone our skills against a hostile crowd.
But here's how bad it is. And I got to jump in there, Michael, because you've probably seen this the last couple of days. A member of the state assembly in California said, "Hey, let's have a John Wayne Day. Let's honor John Wayne on his birthday." Oh my God, they went ballistic. They went crazy. Oh, he was a racist. He was a horrible human being. The star of True Grit, an American legend, the real thing. Oh my God, we cannot honor John Wayne. Really? In America, a guy, you know, we can't honor this guy who was, well, a hero and an icon. He has now been defiled by the politically correct left.
And, you know, John Wayne is male America. To attack John Wayne, attack apple pie, it's attacking hamburgers, it's attacking July 4th. And I couldn't agree with you more, Steve. When you try to bring an icon down like that, what's next? Who are you going to go after next? Ronald Reagan? Oh, wait a minute, they are. That's right. Now they're going to go after him and make fun of his Alzheimer's. They're ready to do it in the movie together. That's what they do. But the worst part is we know that with the college campuses. We know of Hollywood movies. That's always the game. And we've accepted that. But now there's a real problem. See, social media isn't just you put your pictures on there. It's where we put a lot of news stories. It's where we put a lot of businesses. Social media has now become such an important part of business and economic communication. You can't silence that. This isn't college. This isn't, you know, a Hollywood movie. This is the key, a very big part of the economy, advertising, marketing, branding. It's also a very important part of getting out our news stories when we're silenced by the mainstream media. And so a couple of weeks ago when Charles Schumer's niece got really angry when I told the truth about how fat she was and that she wasn't a 5'6", I woke up. And my Instagram guy, having a guy that runs my Instagram account, that's all he does for some of the biggest companies around the country, he called me up in a deep panic. Now, I can't say his name, but we'll use his name as Brian. Brian's a real large guy. He needs to lose 100 pounds. And he called me up. He said, Mike, I can't believe it. These people are crazy. These chubbies are nuts. I said, what's going on? They took the account down. Now, folks, you got to go. It's back up, Sparky Strategies IG. You can look at my pictures. It's girls making out with each other, smoking pot, okay, drinking big bottles of Magnum, barely scantily. We have beautiful ladies in the Goddess program.
You'll and that's all acceptable.
That's completely acceptable. But when I put the column up at the top, Lena Dunham and Amy Schumer are big fat liars, we got told you're down for bullying.
Right, so all of those things are fine. But if you say, you know, I want a secure southern border, you're a bigot, you're a racist, you're a xenophobe, you're a knuckle-dragging moron. Okay. Yeah, I get it.
And,
yeah.
Well, guess where Instagram's headquarters are located? In San Francisco.
Yeah, go figure.
Okay, and now the problem is, just like Twitter in San Francisco, and Google, Twitter, Facebook, all in San Francisco, they don't really like Donald Trump and men like you and me, Steve. And they certainly don't like if you dare say the truth about Amy Schumer, Charles Schumer's niece, so now my account's taken down.
Yeah, you've been shut down because, well, truth has no place in modern America, Michael, that's for sure. Now, I got to make sure the next time you're on here, we get you out of your shell a little bit because we've just got to get you to stake an opinion. But before we do that, tell folks where they can read more.
They could go to thedailysurge.com or The Daily Clash to see more about why social media hates conservatives. And if you're listening and you don't believe it still, folks, I challenge you. Go on Facebook and say the following: no chubby Muslim migrants, and you will have your Facebook taken down.
Back in a moment on Free for All Friday.